from deep inside your radio.
From snowy London, England. Yes. Yes, it happened. You're right. It happened about a year ago. And, yeah, they still seemed unprepared. But, you know, that's part of the charm that will make the Olympics so well. We'll get to that later. You may have noticed, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the advertising in the States the last couple of weeks, all the TV stores and the bars and cocktail lounges and restaurants and other establishments trying to climb on the bandwagon, referring to, quote, the big game, meaning the game that's going to be played later today on most of these stations. I mean, not that you'll hear the game on most of these stations, but it's later today as you hear this broadcast on most of these stations. And I, you know, I'm old-fashioned enough to me, the big game is, depending on where you grew up, either USC versus UCLA or Cal versus Stanford, it's a college football game. That's the big game, capital T, capital B, capital G. I know what we're talking about here. It's the Super Bowl. But you see, these television stores and liquor-selling establishments have been cowed, if you will, by the NFL, owner of the trademark Super Bowl. Oop, I said it. Into being afraid that if they use the word Super Bowl in connection with their own marketing and advertising, a 14-ton pile driver would descend upon them and drill holes through their skulls. And it's, you know, it almost seems as if the NFL is being unreasonable. I know it's comical and risible to say that, because these TV stores are selling TVs that people would go home and watch what? The game that the NFL gains great revenue from having the most eyeballs watch the advertising on. Same for the bars. So is it self-defeating? Gee, I certainly hope so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the godly. A priest who was a former top aide in the Catholic Archdiocese of Hartford, Connecticut, testified this week that he arranged treatment in 1979 for a fellow priest who sexually abused boys. He said he had no knowledge of the church's ever doing anything for the boys. The Reverend Gene Gianelli also testified he decided to keep the name of the church clinic where the abusive priest was sent for treatment secret from the mother of two abused brothers because he was afraid that she could become, quote, a pest, unquote. Gianelli was the secretary to Archbishop John Whelan from 1972 to 1982. He was called as a witness by a now adult former altar boy who claims in a lawsuit that the Archdiocese of Hartford was negligent in the late 70s and early 80s by failing to stop his abuse by the Reverend Ivan Ferguson. Among other things, the victim identified in court as Jacob Doe. That's new. I guess the Does had another kid. Claims in the suit that Ferguson abused him and his best friend from childhood when the boys were students at a parochial grammar school. He claims the diocese failed to control Ferguson in spite of knowledge by the archbishop and others that Ferguson had previously abused the two brothers in 1979. The mother of the two brothers reported their abuse to a priest who lived with Ferguson at the rectory. Ouch. The most painful place to live, apparently. News of the godly, ladies and gentlemen. But wait. As usual, there's more. Follow the dollar. Now, you know, we're hearing a lot from the Republican candidates for president that the corporate tax rate is too high and it should be lowered. So here comes the Wall Street Journal. U.S. companies, says the Wall Street Journal, and I didn't even pay to read this. Sorry, Rupert. U.S. companies are booking higher profits than ever, but the number crunchers in Washington are puzzling over a phenomenon that has just come into view. Corporate tax receipts as a share of profits are at their lowest level in at least 40 years. Total corporate federal taxes paid fell to 12.1% of profits earned from activities in the U.S. in fiscal 2011. According to the Congressional Budget Office, that's the lowest level since at least 1972, well below the 25.6% companies paid on average from 87 through 2008. Yeah, right. Even during the Bush administration, the corporate taxes were higher than they are now. But I don't know. Just follow the dollar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your Brain on Drugs. We've noted in weeks past reports that your brain function and your lung function are not negatively affected by low to moderate use of marijuana. I know, it's so weird. Now comes this. Drug users hooked on crack cocaine may have inherited their vulnerability to addictive behavior, scientists claimed this week. Researchers found that drug addicts and their non-addicted siblings share certain features of the brain, meaning it may be hardwired for addictive behavior. Scientists who scanned the brains of 50 pairs of brothers and sisters, one of whom was a cocaine addict, found that both siblings had brain abnormalities that made self-control more difficult. The study could help vulnerable people learn how to take control before addiction set in. The work by the University of Cambridge, wasn't Oxford, also suggested that though there may be a genetic base for addiction, some people can overcome this predisposition to stay off drugs, although they might end up doing a lot of shopping. A study in the Lancet Medical Journal in January said that as many as 200 million people use illicit drugs worldwide each year. So we have to build more jails, with the use highest in wealthy countries. Addictions can range from narcotics and prescription medicines to cigarettes, alcohol, overeating, and gambling. Karen Ersch of the Behavioral and Clinical Neuroscience Institute at Cambridge led a team of researchers showing that both addict and non-addict siblings shared the same abnormality in parts of the brain linked to controlling behavior regions known as the frontostriatal systems. It's one of my favorite brain systems, as a matter of fact. Hang out there a lot. It has long been known that not everyone who takes drugs becomes addicted, and that people at risk of drug dependence typically have deficits in self-control, she said. Your brain on drugs, ladies and gentlemen. So it doesn't hurt your lungs. It doesn't hurt your brain. And you're probably hardwired to do it. You're going to jail. Hello, welcome to the show.
I'm going up. I'm tired of being down. I'm going up. Get my feet back on the ground. I've been a downhill slide on this roller coaster ride. I've had enough. I'm going up. Up where the eagles fly, I'm going up, writing my name across the sky. I've been down so long, only one place left to go. I've had enough, I'm going up.
from the edge of Leicester Square, soon to be new improved Leicester Square in the heart of London, England. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news from outside the bubble. First, exclusively from Asia Times Online, as the United States steps up efforts to engage the Taliban in a peace process for Afghanistan, elements of the Taliban have initiated their own plan, focused on coming back. This involves hijacking the efforts and finances that the U.S. is investing in training and equipping the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police, the ANA and the ANP. Well-placed sources in the Taliban, who are based in the Pakistan tribal region on the border with Afghanistan, have told Asia Times Online, on the condition of anonymity, that massive numbers of both the ANA and the ANP will switch and join the Taliban on the eve of the scheduled withdrawal of foreign forces from Afghanistan. That's good news, isn't it? As many as 32 policemen of the puppet Afghan army have already switched sides, says one source, and joined the Mujahideen. The Taliban source claimed that leading commanders of both the ANA and ANP had contacted Taliban leaders through tribal liaisons in Afghanistan, requested to join the Taliban unreservedly once the peace talks bear fruit. The sources refused to reveal the names or positions of the commanders who had expressed a willingness to defect for security reasons and the likelihood of retribution against them from the authorities. The sources said they would join the Taliban with their arms caches. In light of this, the Taliban would stop attacking them as a sign of goodwill and focus on foreign troops. This report also says it'll be worse in Pakistan, too. And speaking of which, the Taliban in Afghanistan are being directly assisted by Pakistani security services, according to a secret NATO report seen by the BBC. The leaked report, derived from thousands of interrogations, claims the Taliban remain defiant and have wide support among the Afghan people. The BBC says the report is painful reading for international forces and the Afghan government. A Pakistani official has called the accusations frivolous. The report alleges Pakistan knows the locations of senior Taliban leaders. The report fully exposes for the first time the relationship between the Pakistani Intelligence Service, ISI, and the Taliban. It's based on material from 27,000 interrogations with more than 4,000 captured Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and other foreign fighters and civilians. It notes, quote, Pakistan's manipulation of the Taliban secret leadership continues unabatedly. It states, as this document is derived directly from insurgents, it should be considered informational and not necessarily analytical. The secret document details widespread collaboration between the insurgents and the Afghan police and military. Sort of corroborating what we just heard from the Asia Times Online source. The authors of the NATO report say Afghan civilians frequently prefer Taliban governance over central Kabul-based government, usually as a result of that government's corruption, ethnic bias, and lack of connection with local religious and tribal leaders. This enables the Taliban easily to recruit more fighters to replace their casualties. It's full of interesting facts about the Taliban prisoners' optimistic perception of where they stand today, says The Independent about this report. It is not so much the Taliban are greatly liked, but that the government and its local emissaries are loathed for their corruption, incompetence, and violence. It tellingly quotes a senior Al-Qaeda commander from eastern Afghanistan as saying, Pakistan knows everything. They control everything. I can't pee on a tree in Kunar province without them watching. The Taliban are not Islam. The Taliban are Islamabad. Yes, that's the capital of Pakistan. Isn't that wild? And also from The Independent, Shell Oil's chief executive, Peter Voser, has called on Europe for a less emotional response to fracking. That's hydraulic fracturing of certain geological structures to release the natural gas contained within. He outlined plans to accelerate the oil giant's use of the controversial technology. He said Shell is going to invest $6 billion to frack. About half of that will be in North America, where the gas is in shale. It's released by blasting a mixture of water, chemicals, and sand into them at high pressure. I think it's a very emotional discussion in Europe, said Shell's chief executive. It's not very factual. We need to get back to analysis. They should not take fast and emotional decisions, he said. The industry is just starting to frack in Europe. The first fracking site near Blackpool in the United Kingdom has been closed for the past few months, pending a government investigation of the practice, after it was found to have caused earthquakes in the vicinity, you see. But what the frack? It's happening in Ohio with millions of gallons of chemical-laced wastewater that fracking produces must flow somewhere. Ohio is trying not to be that place, according to Bloomberg News. The oil and natural gas drilling boom spurred more permits for disposal wells in Ohio during the past 2 years than during the previous decade combined. The volume injected into them was on a near-record pace last year. We've become, in Ohio, the dumping ground for contaminated brine, said a state representative and Democratic leader of the House. We didn't prepare adequately for the potential for earthquakes. Like Blackpool and other environmental problems. Now, Ohio is considering tightening regulations governing wells in response to the temblors. So they've had them at least at one site in Ohio, too. In Ohio, companies pay to operate disposal wells after they've been approved by the state, and brine haulers. There's a job I bet you didn't hear about on Career Day. Brine haulers hired by drillers pay the companies to inject the fluid. It's 5 cents per barrel of brine for local brine and 20 cents for the out-of-state crap. Republican Governor John Kasich says while he's not happy about the increasing volume of wastewater from neighboring states, the U.S. Constitution says you can't interfere with interstate commerce, even if it's being dumped on your state. The exodus of fracking wastewater to Ohio is a chronic problem, says a chief executive of the environmental advocacy group Penn Future in Pennsylvania, where a lot of the crap comes from. This is not going to go away, said. Oh, Youngstown, Ohio had earthquakes, including a 4.0 magnitude New Year's Eve trembler. Ohio shut down a disposal well that began operating a year ago and declared a moratorium on new wells in the area pending further study. So is this karmic retribution for Kent State? I don't know. All you can say, ladies and gentlemen, is what the frack. Now, you may be aware, you may recall that Newt Gingrich, way back in the 1990s, had a course. It's not an adjective, that's a noun. A college course that he taught at a West Georgia State or something like that. And that would be obscure, except that he videotaped it and satellited the course offerings around the country, sold the videotapes, and that sort of laid the groundwork for one of the ethics charges brought against him by the Democrats that finally resulted in his departure from the speakership. And I, you know what? I just discovered I had some tape from that course. And here's just a little excerpt.
Every American should be dealt with as an individual and should advance based on their work, their and merit. This is not a sense of IQ. I've known very smart people who were very dumb. I've known average people who worked hard who were better to have around than the smart people. And I've known people who were mentally a little bit slow, but their honesty and integrity and personality and decency made them more desirable than a lot of other people who were a lot smarter. So merit does not just mean some automatic take an IQ test and we'll rank you. It is the sum totality of your being. But it's a very important question.
Sum totality of your being? You mean like including your marriages? Now, news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole Jr. I'll tell you, the cab drivers are mad already. I know that for a fact. But anyway, landlords in Britain's capital are evicting tenants so they can cash in on this summer's Olympics by charging tourists many times the usual rent. Homes in the East London boroughs where many events are to be held are fetching between 5 and 15 times their typical rates as properties are rebranded as short-term Olympic lets or leases. Some landlords are also enforcing expensive penalty clauses for tenants who wish to remain during the games. Rent controls are almost non-existent in Britain. Some Londoners told MSNBC that the looming increase in housing costs will leave them with no choice but to leave the city for the summer, if not longer. British businesses are being warned that they could lose their internet connections during the Olympics due to a surge in the number of people going online at key times. The demand could be such that internet companies might be forced to ration access, according to the Cabinet Office's official advice, Preparing Your Business for the Games. It says that the country's telecommunication system may be unable to cope with demand to access the internet in certain areas. It's possible that internet services may be slowed during the games, or in very severe cases, there may be dropouts due to an increased number of people accessing the internet. Data caps may be introduced during peak times. Those are fashionable. Experts said the warning is timely and showed that companies need to examine whether their IT systems would be capable of allowing staff to work from home. A lot of businesses still are not prepared for the enormous risks presented by the Olympic Games, says Catherine Hurt, head of projects for the MWB Business Exchange, which provides office space to businesses. There's been a lot of discussion about traffic hotspots, but very little about potential internet traffic problems. The risk will be that home workers are unable to work effectively due to overcapacity. So they'll be working from home to avoid the traffic, and they won't be able to work because of the internet thing. The Department for Transport is launching a week-long pilot across government departments in which many staff will work from home. The initiative is not without its setbacks. The same agency conducted Operation Footfall, a pilot last August that resulted in participating staff experiencing internet connection problems, according to those familiar with the project. And just 1 in 10 souvenirs for the London Olympic Games were manufactured in Britain. More than 90% of the 194 products available on the official website were manufactured overseas. A majority of Union Jack emblazoned teacups, crystalware, tea towels, and fluffy toys on sale were produced by foreign workers. Nearly two-thirds of merchandise was manufactured in China. Turkey contributes 9%, the Philippines 4%. The Daily Mail reported that countries such as India, Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, Pakistan, and Germany made merchandise. Critics say many household names given contracts because of their British heritage had wasted the chance to showcase local craftsmanship. A spokesman for the Federation of Small Business said, "This was the perfect opportunity to champion the company's manufacturing industry and show off the best of Britain, and it has been thrown away. We have expertise across the UK in every area of manufacturing, from T-shirts to toys, which could have been utilized." Maybe next games. The Olympics, it's a movement, and we all need one every day.
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? Won't you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Oh, Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring where my heart can go a-journeying? Over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane. And in your lonely flight, haven't you heard the music in the night? father was crazy as a loon, sad as a gypsy serenading the moon. Oh, Skylark, I don't know if you can find these things, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
Something, the State Department years.
Hope you don't mind I dropped in like this to us.
No problem.
The Harlem place is kind of fraught right now.
Fraught?
Yeah. Since I moved in, that kicked off a run-up in housing prices in the neighborhood.
So now the place is crawling with realtors and looky-loos?
And Reverend Al's people protesting gentrification, yeah. Kind of a hassle, and all I want to do is drop off my Davos suits and pick up some summer weight stuff for meetings in Dubai.
While you're over there, you might want to suggest they tell their Iranian friends that our Israeli friends are as serious as a heart attack.
Don't think I should use the word attack, should I?
I kind of thought you should. Notice anything different?
Yeah. The kitchen isn't filled with smoke like it used to be when I made breakfast here.
I meant something different about me.
Oh, sure, hon. You've grown into your office tremendously.
Exactly how do you mean that?
No, not that way. I mean, you've got genuine gravitas. I think you've refined what it means to project American soft power in a really hard way. I think after you, it's going to be very hard for any president to appoint a man to this job.
But do you notice anything different about the way I look?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't put my finger on it.
You got that right.
But I absolutely do notice it, and it's great. What is it?
My hair.
That's right. That was going to be my next guess. Looks fabulous, hon.
You don't think it makes me look, matronly?
Oh, no way, babe. I even think it looks kind of patronly.
Well, I'm going to make the very difficult decision to take that as a compliment.
Look, hon, I know you've been dealing with some serious challenges.
No kidding. Maliki kicks us out of our own war. Karzai's mental state makes bipolar disorder look easy. Ahmadinejad is acting like he owns the place.
Well, he is going to end up winning our last two wars.
And Netanyahu.
I know, hon. Enough said. But
you're swanning around with bankers and industrialists who kiss your hiney and spray money at your foundation, so don't butt me.
Oh, it isn't all bankers and industrialists, Toots. Just this morning I had to do a couple of guys a favor and drop in on Newt Gingrich.
For what?
For a couple of million-dollar contributors to the foundation. But you think Karzai is troubled? I mean, it started out easily enough.
Well, it's not Caesar's Palace, but it'll do.
Hey, nothing wrong with the Venetian.
Oh, I know, and Mr. Adelson told me that if the caucuses weren't being held on Super Bowl weekend, I could have had a room in the tower or in the hotel proper. But this is a very big weekend for the high rollers.
Hey, it's cool. You can barely hear the kitchen noise from here. So, Newt, been a long time.
Profoundly long time.
Profoundly long? What the hell does that even mean?
Oh, sorry. Part of my transformative self-renewal was a fundamentally new emphasis on adverbs. Mm. They work as stunningly potent force multipliers for my adjectives. Callista's a big fan of my adverbs.
Yeah. Well, look, man, you've run a very ballsy campaign.
I think we've shown that the Washington political consultant elite has been a remarkably powerful tool in destroying our political discourse, and that a campaign is startlingly better off without them.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you can't afford them.
Bill, I wouldn't be here right now if Mr. Adelson hadn't assured me we have the resources to go forward all the way to the convention.
No, you'd probably be in a suite. Newt, look, you're a lot like me, except you marry him. But even when we were bitter rivals, I always had a feeling that deep down, we've got a lot in common.
Oh, absolutely. My caucus members used to get uncontrollably livid when I'd come back from a meeting with you and tell them that I thought we were very similar and that we could probably do business together.
You know, and man, no one was counted out worse than I was. So, you know, back in 92. Mm-hmm. So I know you got deep within you a desire to prove that you're an even bigger comeback kid than I was.
Well, I prefer to think of myself as a comeback grandfather, but you're right. I do have a burning desire to prove that the food stamp media are wrong when they count me out of this thing.
Food stamp media?
It's one of my new tropes. Mm-hmm. You can put food stamp in front of anything and make it sound spectacularly derogatory. Calista gets a big kick out of it.
Oh, cool. That's important to have the approval of the woman you're currently married to.
Very important.
I'm just saying, look, when you sold me welfare reform, you just told me, count the votes, right?
I may have said something to that effect.
Well, count the votes. No way you're going to win this thing. You've got about as much chance of sitting in President Obama's chair as Pee Wee Herman. You know I don't root for your side, but the country wants to see this thing decided and to see a good, strong Republican candidate face off against a good, strong president. That's all I want is what the country wants.
You bastard. You come here carrying water for the Wall Street elites that fund your little foundation, and you almost had me believing you.
And I didn't even use any adverbs.
Look, I'm not doing this for the normal reasons that establishment politicians do. This is not about my ego. Mm-hmm. This is much bigger than my ego.
Wow.
This is about responding to destiny's call for a transformational leader to save Western civilization.
You got a far better shot at saving Western civilization with the Newton Gingrich Foundation. If you time your exit properly, it won't be a little foundation either.
Could it utilize Lean Six Sigma principle? No, don't even start to answer that.
Man, you didn't go through all this self-renewal so you could end up howling into the wind at the convention like Ron Paul on crystal meth. You're better than that. You're not Churchill, but you're better than that.
Bill, I probably owe you an apology for what went down way back when. But right now, I've just got to say, get out of my roomette. Take the second right out past the vegetable prep line. I've got to do some self-consulting.
Wow. Tough.
Yeah. It could have been such a neat foundation.
Mm.
Okay, my suits are still in the big closet?
I haven't moved them. I'm out the door in a couple, so...
Good luck with the world.
Good luck with whatever.
Youthful angst and post-middle-aged power. Together they add up to Clinton something, the State Department years.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of our friend the Atom.
Clean, safe, too cheap to meet. Save, safe, too cheap to meet. Clean, safe. Too safe to meter. Safe, safe, too safe to meter.
Addy, how'd you hold up in the cold weather?
My electrons slow down.
Really?
Yeah. Virtually static. Imagine that.
I'll visualize that. Researchers working around Japan's disabled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant say bird populations there have begun to dwindle in what may be a chilling harbinger of the impact of radioactive fallout on local life. Also, the nightclubs have... No. In the first major study of the impact of the world's worst nuclear crisis in 25 years, the researchers from Japan, the U.S., and Denmark said their analysis of 14 species of bird common to the area and to Chernobyl showed the effect on abundance is worse in the Japanese disaster zone. The study will be published next week in the journal Environmental Pollution, but you can hear about it right here.
please give, suggests that the findings demonstrate an immediate negative consequence of radiation for breeds during the main breeding season of March to July. Two of the study's authors have spent years working in the irradiated zone around Chernobyl. A quarter of a century later, that region is almost devoid of people. They say their research uncovered major negative effects among the breed population, including reductions in longevity and in male fertility, and birds with smaller brains. See, we used to think they had, you know, bird brains, and then we've learned that they actually are capable of some sophisticated brain stuff. And now we do this to them. So there'd be bird brains again. There's a circularity to it all, don't you see? Many species show dramatically elevated DNA mutation rates, developmental abnormalities, and extinctions, they add, and insect life has been significantly reduced. Well, there's one bonus. In a rural area 15 kilometers, you look it up, southwest of the Oi nuclear plant. Yes, that's what it's called. Oi. It's the Japanese, you see. It's not anywhere where that would be Yiddish. The Oi nuclear plant in Fukui Prefecture, a business office displays the signboard of a construction company inside a 67-year-old man wearing a black knit cap and wrapped up in a blanket while watching television, indicates the company is more of a temp staff agency for nuclear power plant work. His work, he says, told in the Japanese newspaper Asahi Shimbun, involves disguised subcontracts. The subcontractor provides temporary staff to a general contractor. The practice is illegal, which is under a law which is designed to protect the rights of workers. The practice has remained widespread for years at nuclear plants around the nation, according to sources that the newspaper has consulted. The workers desperate for income hop from one nuclear plant to another for jobs they know are dangerous. This is all organized by Yakuza groups. That's historical Japanese organized crime families. Seeing certain sources of income drying up, they continue to take their cut from the system. General contractors and the utilities themselves have not taken action because the system supplies a steady source of cheap labor, much like Apple gets. See, it's the same the world over. A week of problems at the San Onofre nuclear power plant have raised new safety concerns among some activists.
Not me.
Officials, that's because you're frozen. Officials of Southern California Edison, which operates the facility, insist the plant is perfectly safe. Others say the mishaps are one more sign of problems. The situation is that further evidence that California should be beyond nuclear power, says the director of clean energy programs for an advocacy group, Environment California. Nuclear regulation officials said Thursday extensive wear had been found on tubes inside a unit at the San Onofre plant. Another unit at the plant was taken offline after a small radiation leak earlier this week. Dozens of relatively new tubes that carry radioactive water showed many, many years' worth of wear, even though the tubing is 22 months old, says Victor Drix. I said Drix, a spokesman for the NRC. Nearly 70 tubes made from a metal alloy. Tom?
I'm an alloy.
That's right. And formed into a U-shape, had 20% of their interior lining worn off. Hundreds more had 10% of the lining deteriorated. Drix said some of the tubes will require repair. Others will have to be replaced.
So what?
A minor nuclear accident caused a reactor to lose power at the Byron Generating Station near Chicago. The shutdown resulted in a large amount of steam venting from the plant, releasing small amounts of tritium, our old friend tritium, into the atmosphere. Officials have reported, they've said, the local population and the public in general are not in any danger. They are working to restore power to the plant. It's unknown why power was lost. It appears to have been caused by an outside electrical grid failure. That's right, a plant breaking the atom to make electricity depends on outside sources of electricity. And when they fail, the incident was immediately reported to local officials. Experts say that a release of tritium is not as dangerous as other, more lethal radioactive elements. Note the weasel words there. Why the power lost to the reactor? Still a mystery. But we like mysteries, don't we? Electric ratepayers will shoulder TVA's cost to prepare for a final round of Nuclear Regulatory Commission stepped-up inspections triggered by last year's red safety finding at TVA's nuclear facilities. $8 million set aside for paying for the inspections. TVA is funded completely by ratepayers, so $8 million will be about 1% of every electric bill. Please pay to find out why we weren't safe enough. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission said Wednesday it had rejected some of the Indian Point nuclear plant's procedures, that's in New York, for assuring fire safety, noting that its two reactors lacked some equipment typically used to meet the commission's regulations. Instead, the plant relies on substitute measures, like calling for its personnel to operate vital equipment manually, that is to say once a year, if the cables connecting them to the control room burn through. The commission said it could not safely assume that such measures would work.
Yeah, but they might.
Clean, cheap, too safe to meter. Our friend the atom, he'll thaw out. Don't worry about him.
And if there was a garden of your love, and my heart was there to bloom and grow, if my life could blossom in your flower bed, I would be content in always knowing. That life could be this pleasant still, if I'd seen the future in my past, and if I'd known that I could fill this empty well, I would not have hidden finally knowing.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
First, apologies from two mayors. Lansing, Michigan Mayor Virge Bernero under fire for what two Michigan Indian, sorry, Native American tribes described as a string of anti-Indian, sorry, Native American, racial slurs at a fundraising speech last week. He denied he directed his remarks towards them, but apologized, quote, to any and all who were offended by my choice of words. The Nottawatasepe Huron Band of Potawatomi and the Saginaw Chippewas, who are opponents of a proposed casino in Lansing that would be operated by another tribe, said Bernero repeatedly used profanity and racial slurs in describing the casino controversy. The tribe said Bernero referred to a bullseye on his back and said he was the target of, quote, bows and arrows for championing the casino proposal. Leave the metaphors to the professionals, along with the humor. The city of Portland has agreed to pay $1.2 million to settle a federal civil rights lawsuit brought by the family of Aaron Campbell, who was shot to death by Portland police 2 years ago. The settlement is the most the city's insurers ever paid out, stemming from a lawsuit against the police. Portland Mayor Sam Adams, probably not the same one you're thinking of, issued an apology to his family and wrote on his Facebook page, as mayor of the city of Portland, I would like to personally apologize to Aaron Campbell's family, particularly to his mother and his four children. Today's settlement does not erase the Campbell family's pain, nor does it bring back their father, son, brother, and cousin. And for that, I am very sorry. Dateline Minamata, Japan. Environmental Minister Goshi Hosono has apologized for the time it's taking to wrap up the issue of providing relief measures for uncertified patients of Minamata disease. I would like to apologize for the fact that the issue hasn't been resolved and is still causing you suffering, he said as he met with victims of the disease in Minamata, where the food chain was poisoned by Chiso Corporation discharging mercury-tainted water into the ocean decades ago. Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey apologized this week for his highly criticized comment about the civil rights movement. Quote, to those folks out there who were somehow offended or concerned about the ambiguity in my statement, I apologize, Christie said during his monthly appearance on a radio show. It was a rare moment of contrition for a popular politician. Last week, he announced after a town hall meeting in Bridgewater, he would veto a gay marriage bill. Instead, he said legislators should put a referendum on the ballot to amend the Constitution if they wanted gay marriage. He added, the fact of the matter is, I think people would have been happy to have a referendum on civil rights rather than fighting and dying in the streets in the South. Democrats pointed out many blacks in the South wouldn't have been allowed to vote in such a referendum. After 76 applicants were mistakenly told they had been accepted for Vassar College, its president has apologized for the considerable confusion and hurt caused by the terribly upsetting event. Said the college would reimburse the students $65 application fees. Vassar prides itself on providing a professional and personal relationship with everyone in our community. Catherine Hill wrote in an email, obviously we failed dramatically to do so in this instance. Reversing the admissions decisions would be unfair, she said. These students had applied for binding early admission to Vassar, saw what the school later called a test letter congratulating them on their acceptance. Hours later, they received a message saying that letter had been posted in error. An advertising agency for BMW is paid to name a cold weather front sweeping Europe Cooper, after the car maker's Mini Cooper. The naming is only effective in Germany. But the public relations stunt by the agency went wrong after the freezing conditions led to dozens of deaths. Germany's Meteorology Institute allows the sponsorship of weather systems. On its website, advertising agency Sassenbach says that naming the front after the open-air vehicle was a wind- and weatherproof idea. The Munich-based advertising agency said it was no longer commenting on the unfortunate correlation between the progress of the severe weather and the car it sought to publicize. It also named a warmer weather front to follow, Mini. BMW has apologized for the stunt, which cost the advertising firm about $200. In a statement, the carmaker said it could not influence exactly when names for weather fronts would be used or what a weather system would do. So don't have naming rights, maybe? Maybe don't do that? What do you think? But wait, there's more. A Massachusetts woman says the FBI used a chainsaw blade to cut through her door and held her at gunpoint for at least 30 minutes before agents realized, yes, they were conducting a raid at the wrong home.
How many of those have there been now?
Since I've been on the air? Judy, not that I'm responsible for them. Judy Sanchez says she woke to heavy footsteps in the stairwell and walked into her kitchen in time to see a blade chop through her door.
Wow, that's a good knife. That knife probably will last a lifetime. Quote, I took two steps, faced the second door, and I heard the click of a gun and saying, FBI, get down, so I laid down on my living room floor. I was screaming, you have the wrong apartment. Over 50 times I screamed it, and then I seen the big blade coming down my door. The FBI has apologized and is paying for the damage. Sanchez says she and her daughter now have trouble sleeping. She said she now sleeps with a baseball bat next to her bed. I don't think a baseball bat beats a large blade. That's just me. But this is just me, too. A minister, that is to say, a government minister in India, Gauri Shankar Bisari, who landed in a controversy after being caught by TV cameras getting his shoelaces tied by a boy, has apologized for the incident and swears he will only wear shoes without laces from now on. Dateline Bucharest, Romania. Romania's prime minister on Monday of a week ago fired the foreign minister over insulting remarks he made about anti-government protesters. The prime minister has resigned to protesters during an extraordinary two-day parliament session called by opposition parties. I present apologies from the Parliamentary Tribune to the Romanian public for these verbal errors, he said. Foxconn, the main manufacturing unit of global electronic giant Hon-Hai Precision Industry, has apologized on behalf of its chairman, Terry Gu, who was cited by media. Oh, yeah, we had that. Norway has apologized for the arrest and deportation of Jews. During the Second World War, the Prime Minister, Jens Stoltenberg, said it was time the nation acknowledged that politicians and other Norwegians took part and expressed, quote, our deep regrets that this could have happened on Norwegian soil. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. And now, in the waning moments of the broadcast, news of Nice Corp. They're nice people doing nice things. The email in which James Murdoch was told of allegations that phone hacking was rife at the News of the World was deleted from his personal account days before Scotland Yard opened a new investigation into the company. That is nice. The chairman of News International was forwarded a chain of emails suggesting that hacking was not restricted to a single rogue reporter, as the company was then insisting. Murdoch was told by the editor of News of the World at the time, the tabloid newspaper involved, it is as bad as we feared, unquote. Murdoch claims he didn't read the email in full, was unaware of the suggestion that hacking went beyond the rogue reporter. Didn't explain when he had discussed his fears of how bad it could be. It's now disclosed the email was deleted from his account by an IT worker at Nice Corp's News International 11 days before Scotland Yard launched its current investigation. The editor's copy of the message was also lost from the email server that held News International emails following a hardware failure. Isn't that a nutty coincidence? That, you know, when bad things happen to good people, you just have to wonder. The evidence handed over by News International last January has prompted a new investigation that's led to more than 17 arrests. Last week, four personnel from another Nice Corp-owned tabloid, The Sun, were arrested, including the editor who was at work, supposedly, reportedly, on a Sunday newspaper to replace the now-shuttered News of the World. That is nutty, isn't it? News of Nice Corp. Nice people doing nice things. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of Le Show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.490 megahertz. On the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived, whenever you want it. HarryShearer.com and KCRW.com. Available for your smartphone through Stitcher.com and available as a free podcast from KCRW.com. And it'd be just like a non-threatening venting of tritium in the air if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Hawaii desks. Thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead, and thanks to Adrian Bodders here at Global Radio in London for help with today's broadcast. This broadcast is on Twitter. Join the more than 55,000 followers at The Harry Shearer. Oh, and it's the last day that you can rent The Big Uneasy at iTunes. It's their rental movie of the week. Who knew? Warm for me. Coming soon. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. New Orleans, I'll bring you some snow. So long from London.